This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning, Rabbi Isai. We have only 2 days until the great Yom Tov of Sukkot. The Sukkot is, the Sefer Tzror HaMor says, Sukkot is the greatest Yom Tov of the year. And of course, we know one of the additions that we make in the Berchas HaMazon is we say a Harachamon, may the Merciful One, Harachamon Hu Yakim Lanu, Esukas David Hanoifalas. The Merciful One, He should establish for us, set up for us, make firm for us the fallen Sukkah of David. And of course, we understand that these words, Harachamon Hu Yakim Lanu, Esukas David Hanoifalas, refers to none other than the Beis HaMikdash, that we're mispalel in the Berchas HaMazon of Sukkot, that the Ribbono Shel Olam should rebuild the third Beis HaMikdash. Now the question is, what does that have to do with the Yom Tov of Sukkot? Why on the Yom Tov of Sukkot do we specifically ask Hashem to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash? There doesn't seem to be any connection between the building of the Beis HaMikdash and the Yom Tov of Sukkot. What? Just because the Beis HaMikdash could be referred to as a Sukkah? So, since it happens to be called Sukkah, and it's Sukkot, well, you know, once we're at it, we might as well daven, Hashem, rebuild the Sukkot's David Hanoifales. That's a pretty weak connection. Imagine, and if the Sukkah was called Matzah, then we would daven on Pesach that Hashem should rebuild the broken Matzah. And if, let's say the Beis HaMikdash was called the Shofar, then we'd be davening for it on Rosh Hashanah. Is it only because the Beis HaMikdash is referred to at times as a Sukkah, that this is the appropriate time to daven for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash? What does the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash have to do with the Yom Tov of Sukkot? There's a very interesting Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us about the curse that Yehoshua ben Nun placed on anybody who would rebuild the city of Yericho. And Yehoshua said that anyone who rebuilds Yericho, he will lose his children as the city is being built, child after child. When the city begins to be built, he will lose his first, and he will lose all of his children by the time he completes the city. And a man by the name of Chiel went ahead and rebuilt Yericho. And now he is somewhat fearful of the impending curse of Yehoshua ben Nun. And Marv Rabbeisai, we're going to speak today about your favorite topic. You know what we're going to talk about today? Today we're going to talk about the rain. We're going to learn about where rain comes from. And whatever you may have heard about the rain, and whatever scientific information that you may have gathered over the years and over the decades of your learning and experience, well, you could basically throw it out the window. Wherever you think the rain comes from, that's not where the rain comes from. I don't care where you read, what science information you have, we're going to learn a revolutionary understanding of the process of the rain. And so we have this individual who rebuilt Yericho, and now is he going to incur the curse of Yehoshua ben Nun? Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Amar Lei. There was a Rasha, a wicked king by the name of Achav, and he says to Chiel, Hashta levatsa de Moshe lo mekayma. If the curse of Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't come true, do you really think the curse of his student Yehoshua ben Nun will come true? Now, what's the curse of Moshe? The Chsiv, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Vesartem, you will turn away. Right? We say in the second parsha of Shema, V'hoyim Shemaya Tishma Mitzvah Shanachim Tzavah Eschamayim. We say, Hashem's going to withhold the heavens. He's going to close up the heavens. Basically, Hashem's saying that if you serve Avodah Zarah, I am going to stop the heavens, close up the heavens, and it's not v'lo yiyeh matar, va'avadatem mehira me'al ha'aretz min ha'adama, right? You're going to end up being destroyed. So here Moshe Rabbeinu places a curse that if Chas v'Shalom, Klal Yisrael does not follow the Torah, and they go and they serve idols, So says Achav, yeah, really? So listen to Moshe's curse. Moshe says, if we serve Avodah Zarah, there's not going to be rain. Vahu Gavra, and that guy, meaning me, Achav saying, I've put up Avodah Zarah in every single furrow in the land of Israel. And the rain does not even let me go bow down to all of my Avodah Zarah. I have put up an Avodah Zarah in every single furrow in Eretz Yisrael, and there's so much rain, the rain is stopping me from serving our idols more. So if Moshe Rabbeinu's klala did not come true, Levatsa de Yeshua Talmida Mekaima, will the curse of Yeshua come true?
What was Yeshua?
Yeshua's curse was, again, if you build up your Rechai, you lose your children. So don't worry, Achav says to Chiel. If Moshe's curse didn't come true, don't think, then certainly Yeshua's curse will not come true. This is the chutzpah, this is the argument that Achav gave Chiel. So Eliyahu was sitting there, Miyad, immediately, Vayomer Eliyahu HaTishbi. Eliyahu the Tishbi, Mitosh VeGilad, he said, Chai Hashem Elokei Yisrael, by the life of Hashem, God of Israel, Imiyat Tal Umatar, if there will be dew or rain, if you look over there, the Lashon of the Pasuk is, Kiim Lefi Devari, only based on my word. Meaning, Eliyahu said, you're saying the curse of Moshe is not coming true? Yeah, it will come true. I promise you that there will not be dew or rain unless I say so. Kiim Lefi Devari. Now we're going to see in the Chassam Sofer, and the Chassam Sofer asks, why did Eliyahu use a Lashon, Kiim Lefi Devari, only according to my word? He should say, there won't be rain unless Hashem decides to give it rain. In other words, why didn't Eliyahu say, why does he say kiim lefi devari? Why does he use the words only according to my mouth? Boi rachamei, say Eliyahu daven for mercy. V'havulei aklida de mitra, and he was given the key of rain. Marv Rabbi said, we know there are three keys in this world that Hashem maintains sole possession of. Key number one is the key of chaya, childbirth. Key number two is tchiyas hamesim, and key number three is matar, rain. So Eliyahu said, God, hand it over. I want the key of rain. I just swore that it's not going to rain unless I say so. So he davened to have the key of rain. So listen to what happened. Come, he got up. V'yazal, and he went. And the word of God was to him, Lemar, Lech Mizeh, leave, Upanisa Lecha Kedma, go to the east, the Nistarta Benachal Kris, and hide out in the Kris ravine, hide out in the valley of Kris. So it's not raining, so Eliyahu HaNavi was a fugitive now, Achav was going to kill him, so Eliyahu HaNavi runs away. Now the question is, so what did Eliyahu HaNavi eat? The ravens brought him bread, ubasar, and meat, baboiker, in the morning. This is very interesting. Rashi points out, the ravens brought him meat. Rashi in Parshas Noach says that when Yonah sent out the ravens, it says they went back and forth, they didn't return. They went to this shlichas. They're already preparing for this shlichas to be able to take care of Eliyahu HaNavi. So the Gemara says, where did they get him? The ravens brought him meat from Mehecha, from where the ravens get it from? If a raven brings you meat, he's probably getting it from roadkill or something, right? Amar Yehuda Marav mi beit tavchi da Achav. They got it from Achav's kitchen. So listen to this. Rav Miller used to point out, Achav is such a rasha. He's an Ovid Avodah Zarah. He sets Avodah Zarah in every furrow in Israel. He's a mechutzof against Hashem. But he still eats kosher. A frumi he still is. It's not a stira. You could be a frum, you could be frum, you could have a langa bard, you could wear a langa rekel, and you have kosher food. And you could be an apikiris. It's not a stira. You could be a fruma apikiris. Not a stira. Fine. Anyway, kivan dechazad ikat tsara ba'alma, when Achav saw there was tsar in the world, so now, you know, the people are starving, people are dying. The word of Hashem came to him, Lemar, kum lech tsarfas, go to tsarfas, And he goes to the Isha Hatzarfas. And the Isha Hatzarfas, she had a son. And the son was sick. And the son died. And Eliyahu HaNavi had tremendous hakar satov to his host. So he wants to bring the kid back to life. Now there's a big dilemma here. Because we said there are three keys that God maintains sole possession of. Rain, he gave to Eliyahu. Childbirth, and Tchiyas HaMesim. Now Eliyahu now wants to bring the kid back to life. If Eliyahu wants to bring the kid back to life, he's going to have two of the three keys. So Hashem says, it's one thing for the Rebbe to keep two and to give the Talmud one. But to give two to the Talmud and keep one for the Rebbe, that's not Derech Eretz. You want to bring the kid back to life, you give me back the key of rain, and then I'll give you the key of Tchiyas HaMesim. And then Eliyahu said, deal, and then Hashem brought the rain. That's how the drought stopped. Because Eliyahu needed the key of Tchiyas HaMesim, he had to give back to Hashem the key of rain. That's the Gemara, Masechta Sanhedrin. Moreover, Rabbosai, let me tell you a little story. Based on this Gemara, what should happen now? God has the key of rain again. So all of a sudden, the clouds should cluster, and there should be a big storm, and everyone should be listening on the news. Guess what? A ninth hurricane in the last 2 weeks is coming, and all of a sudden the rain starts to fall. No. Eliyahu says, wait a second. Eliyahu calls all the Nevi'ei Habal to Har HaKarmel. He gathers all of Klal Yisrael to Har HaKarmel, and everyone screams out, Hashem hu alaikim, Hashem hu alaikim, Hashem hu alaikim. It's like Ne'ilah, right? And the Navi tells us a little tiny cloud comes down, the size of a hand, and it rains. But wait a second, I thought Eliyahu gave the key of rain back to God, so the heavens should open up, and the rain should fall, like nobody's business, should be like Segista Mabel. Yeah, and that's it. Why does Eliyahu have to make this big show and call of all Klal Yisrael to Har HaKarmel, and everyone screams out, Hashem hu alaikim, Hashem hu alaikim, Hashem hu... They have a whole Ne'ilah service, and why does a cloud, a little tiny cloud, the Lashon of the Pasuk is an Av Ketana, a small cloud, and it's in the shape of a hand. What's the meaning of all of this? Marv Rabbeisai, please take a look at number 3 in the Drashas Chassam Sofer. In the Drashas Chassam Sofer, in a Hesped, in Chelek Beis. So, Mr. Zalkin, where are you going to be for Sukkot? Bayswater. You could say this in Bayswater. They'll go, they'll sell. Mr. Miller, where are you going to be? Even in Kew Garden Hills, it's going to go. Rabbi Yaakov, where are you going to be? In Kew Garden Hills, by Ol Simcha, Rabbi Friedman. You could tell it to anybody. Doc, where are you going to be for Yom Tov? Kew Gardens. Even in Kew Gardens, they're going to like this pshat of the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer wants to know, why does the Navi tell us that... First of all, Eliyahu says there will only be rain, kiyim lefi devari, only if I say so. What do you mean, only if I say so? He should say, if God wants, imroitza Hashem. Why kiyim lefi devari? Why only kiyim lefi devari? What's the lashon of kiyim lefi devari? Take a look at number 3 on the 5th line. Eliyahu says, im yia talumatar kiyim lefi devari, levesoif, amar leha kadosh baruch hu, lechera el achav, Ve'etzna matar apihu adama, and Eliyahu goes, he gathers all of Klal Yisrael to Har HaKarmel, and he's mekadeshim shemayim barabim, and he davens, and a small cloud comes down. Frektech sam sofer, 4 questions. Der erste kasha is, Achav had a very good argument. Achav said that you don't have to worry about Moshe Rabbeinu's curse. You don't have to worry about Yehoshua's curse. Even Moshe's curse doesn't come true because Moshe promised that if you serve Avodah Zarah, v'lo yiyah matar. And there is matar. There's been matar for a long time. What are we going to do with Achav's taina that Moshe Rabbeinu's curse did not come true? That's Erstens. Tzveitens, what does Eliyahu mean? Ki im lefi devari, there will only be rain if I say so. Number 3. If Hashem wants to bring the rain, why does Eliyahu have to gather all of Klal Yisrael for this thunder and lightning show on Har HaKarmel? And question number 4, what is the meaning of this small little cloud that came down in Hashemayim? Marv Rabbi said, let me share with you another idea. Let me share with you a Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says in Siman Tafresh Lametes, Ulefi Shekedushas Hasukkah Gedoyla Ma'oid. There's the Mishnah Berurah of Katamiz. The sanctity of the Sukkah is very, very great. Roy Lamait Ba B'Divrei Chayil. It is fitting that you minimize secular conversation. Don't talk about the stocks. Don't talk about the Mets. They're not good anyway. Don't talk about the Giants. There's nothing to talk about. Don't talk about hurricanes. Don't talk about Las Vegas. Just speak Divrei Kedusha. Kiyam Kedusha V'Toyra. V'kol Shekein She'yeh Zohir Miladaber Sham Lashon Hara U'Rechilos U'Shvar Dvar Ma'asurim. Certainly you should be careful not to speak Lashon Hara, Rechilos, and other prohibited matters. Why is the Chafetz Chaim telling me not to speak Lashon Hara in the Sukkah? Well, and in your house, you could speak Lashon Hara?
Right.
And in the car, you could speak Lashon Hara? So you say, the Chafetz Chaim needs an excuse to tell you not to speak Lashon Hara? The Chafetz, but yeah, this is not a Mishnah Berurah, is not a Musar Sefer, it's a Sefer of Halacha. Why is the Chafetz Chaim specifically telling you not to speak Lashon Hara? Elamai, the Chafetz Chaim is making a point that how terrible Lashon Hara is in the Sukkah because of the Kedusha of the Sukkah. So why didn't the Chafetz Chaim say, be careful not to do an Avira in the Sukkah? Don't eat treif, don't wear shatnez, don't drink dam, don't eat a nevela, don't. There are a lot of things that you shouldn't do in the Sukkah. Why dafka Lashon Hara? Marav Rabbeisai, another interesting thing to think about. The last day of Sukkot, what do we mispalo for? Geshem. Rain. Why do we daven for rain on Sukkot? We don't even want it to rain on Sukkot. Rain on Sukkot is a sign of a klala. So you'll say, but we're davening for it on Shmini Atzeres when the when Sukkot is over. No, it's not. You have to sin the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. It's a Gemara. The Gemara says, the Gemara says, on the eighth day, Hilkach Meisve Yasvinan Mevarchi Lo Mevarchinan. You sit in the Sukkah. So we're sitting on the Sukkah, so push off the Tefillah of Geshem. It's a Chiv to sit in the Sukkah. And if you don't know what your Minog is, then your Minog is what the Halacha is that you sit in the Sukkah. So then, why are we asking for rain on Sukkot? Push off the request. What does the request of rain have to do with Sukkot? So we're going to learn something very, very interesting. If I were to ask you, where does rain come from? So you say, rain? I'm a smart guy. I remember earth science. I remember the song. Condensation, precipitation, right? Evaporation. There's a whole niggun. So basically what happens is God Almighty created a tremendous, powerful fire. And that fire is 93 million miles away from planet Earth. And the name of this fire is the sun. And it sends light down to the earth at the speed of 186,000 miles per second. And the heat of the sun heats up the water in the ocean. The water then evaporates. That water vapor is lighter than the air, and the water vapor rises. It condenses into clouds. The problem is, what good is it going to do if it rains over the ocean? So Hashem created a huge fan. The name of the fan is called wind. And the wind blows the clouds over the land. And when the clouds are heavy enough, bam, it rains. That's what I would have said. That's what you'd say. That's what everyone would say. Guess what? That's not where rain comes from, really. It also comes from there. But it is certainly true. You ever hear a person talk and you say, the guy spoke for a half hour, but he said absolutely nothing. So what is that called? It was a lot of hot air. There's a lot of hot air. Says Chassam Sofer, you know where rain comes from? From clouds. You know where clouds come from? From your mouth. From the hot air emitted in from your mouth. When you say words, it creates water vapor. The words then collect. The water vapor, the heat collects. It rises up and it forms clouds. Says Chassam Sofer Azai. When people speak Sheker, Chanufa, Rechilos, Lashon Hara, Dvarim Betelim, Dvarim Ha'asurim, when they talk by davening, by Chazaras HaShatz, by Kriyas HaTorah, by Kaddish, these form poisonous toxic, venomous hot air. That hot air, all that poison and all the toxins rise up and they make poisonous, toxic, venomous clouds. Those clouds produce poisonous, toxic, venomous rain. The rain then falls and falls into the earth. The earth then produces poisonous, toxic, venomous fruits and produce. People eat them. They then become sullied and poisoned, and they now ingest terrible toxins, and it lowers their level, and it poisons them, and it contaminates them, and it sullies them. The people then say worse words. They say worse Lashon Hara, worse Rechilos, more Dvarim Betelem, more by davening. They then produce more poisonous, more toxic, more venomous, more pollution that produces darker, thicker, heavier, more disgusting clouds that then produce more gross and more toxic and more polluted rain that causes even more poisonous and venomous fruits. And this is called a vicious cycle.
It's called acid rain.
Acid rain. And then and it's a vicious cycle that builds up on itself, to the point where the only way to recover and to restore the world to the way it once was is drought. You got to break the cycle. Either God needs to destroy the people, or he needs to stop the cycle, the rain cycle, until the people humble themselves and they realize that they need to improve their ways. That's why we know the early rain is called the Yoira and the late rain is called the Malkosh. Malkosh, the Gemara in Tainus says in Avav, Shemol Kash Yusein Shel Yisrael. It circumcises the abstinence of the Jewish people. It circumcises, it cuts, it opens up from their abstinence. Can we get a little bit of air in here? It opens up the abstinence of the Jewish people. So, Marv Rabbi, so listen to us. Let's read it inside. Says Achsam Sofer number 3. It is known that rain is formed from the mist that rises up from the earth. And Vehevel Peh Anshei Ha'olam, and the heat and the mist and the hot air of the mouths of people. Says the Chassam Sofer, even if this is just a small contribution to the rain cycle, and you'll say the main rain certainly comes from the Atlantic and is sweetened in the clouds, nevertheless, says the Chassam Sofer, what I'm telling you, I'm not telling you Drush, I'm not telling you Torah, what I'm telling you, Gam Ze Emes, this is also true. Ki Havaya Ha'avim Hu Meha'idim Ha'ilam In Ha'aretz. Clouds are from the mist that rises from the earth. Meaning, there is no doubt that a major contribution to the rain are the words of man. I'm not telling you my salach, says Chassam Sofer. My experience and my intellect testifies to this. If the world speaks Dvaram Nevalim, Lashon Hara, Rechilos, the rain is Mezuham, poison, full of sin, the food created is tameh, it contaminates the food, it will then contaminate the people, and these people will produce even worse diburim, and the rain will be even more venomous, toxic, and poisonous. And then, says Chassam Sofer in the next column, ein trufa lemakasam chalila, there will be no remedy for this illness. So what does God do? Either v'otzar mina es hashamayim, the Avadat HaMehira, says Chassam Sofer, a novel reading of the Pasuk. It doesn't mean that he'll close up the heavens and there won't be rain and you'll be destroyed. It's either A or B. Either the heavens will be closed off or you'll be destroyed. It's one or the other. It's not both. So says Chassam Sofer, in the times of Achav, they were so sullied, contaminated, and poisoned, it wouldn't even help to close off the Shamayim. Hashem was going to have to destroy them. But when Achav mocked Eliyahu, and Achav said, nah, there's no way God could withhold the heaven, So Hashem did. Now listen carefully. So Hashem withholds the heaven. He has to withhold the heaven now. Because if it's going to rain, the rain is going to be so toxic and poisonous, it's just going to bring things down worse. So Eliyahu says, no, here's the trick. Listen carefully. From now on, there will only be rain. Kiyim lefi divari. Only through my words. All you, Rashaan, when you say words, it's not going to produce clouds. Only my words will produce the clouds. And now
there's a Navi.
So now when it rains, if it does, it will be pure kasher tahar rain. Because it's lefi divari. Not if I say so, but through my words. Therefore, when Achav needed the rain to fall, so Eliyahu says, if we're going to bring a rainfall, maybe my words are not going to be enough. We're going to gather all of Klal Yisrael. They're going to scream at Hashem Hu Aleikim, Hashem Hu Aleikim, Hashem Hu Aleikim. And that collection of the tefillos of Klal Yisrael will be enough to produce, to squeeze out a shtickle rain from Shamayim. And then a little cloud came down like the hand of the palm of a person. And that rain was created by the Diburim HaKadoshim of Klal Yisrael Behar HaKarmel. But the Chassam Sofer is saying a tremendous chiddush. That where does rain come from? From us. How? Through our words. Through our hot air. That if we speak Divrei Torah, Divrei Kedusha, Tefillah, words of encouragement, kindness, then we'll produce kasher rain. The rain will then produce beautiful, sweet, a sanctified fruits, and that will elevate us. On the other hand, if we speak Dvarim Ho'asurim, namely and specifically Lashon Hara, that will create a very poisonous and toxic rain cycle. By the way, this is not only the Chiddush of Rabbi Yonis, of the Chassam Sofer. Comes the Rebbe, Rabbi Yonis and Aibishitz, Rabbi Yisai. And Rabbi Yonis and Aibishitz on the Gemara and Brachas, Daf Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis. Rava would never make a fast day on a cloudy day. Says Rava, the clouds hold back the tefillos, like the pasuk says in Echa, Sakoisa be'anan, you cover up in a cloud, may avar tefillah, from having tefillah pass through. Says Rabbi Yonis and Aibishitz in the Yaros Devash, Chelek Aleph, page Pei Gimel, what are these clouds that prevent our tefillos from going through? Says Rabbi Yonis and Aibishitz, these clouds are the mist and the hot air that comes out of our mouths every day. Specifically, idle conversation, not just during davening, in shuls, certainly during davening, that rises up in a cloud, in a mist, and it forms a blockage from our tefillos going up to Shamayim. So again, we see this chiddush, that our hot air, through Lashon Hara, Rechilas, and so on and so forth, could create some kind of barrier in the heaven from our tefillos going up. Marv Rabbi said, rain comes from our mouths. Listen to this, it's Ayam and Ayra. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, look at number 6. Titz b'neim besuka, meiriv l'shainais. God hides them in a sukkah from the contentions of the tongue. It almost sounds like, what does the mitzvah of sukkah protect us from? Lashon Hara. Comes Reb David Tevel, the Nachlas David. The Nachlas David is the Talmud of Reb Chaim Velazhner, who of course was a primary disciple of the Vilna Gaon. And he says, if you look at the word sukkah, how many letters are in the word sukkah for Samach, Vav, Chaf, Hey? How many parts of the mouth are there? There are 5 parts. There are the teeth. There are the lips. There's the palate. There's the throat. And there's the tongue. The letter Samach is from the group Zayin, Samach, Shin, Resh, Tzadi. These letters come from the teeth. Zayin, Samach, Shin, Resh, Tzadi. They come from the teeth. Samach comes from the teeth. Let's go to the Vav of Sukkah. Beis, Vav, Mem, Pei, from the lips. Let's go to the Kaf of Sukkah. Kaf is from the letters Gimel, Yud, Chaf, Kuf. They come from the palate. Kaf, Yud, Chaf, Gimel, from the palate. And then the He is a guttural sound, like Aleph, Hey, Ches, Ayin. There's only one part of the mouth that's not represented in the word Sukkah. We know the Dalid and the Tes and the Lamid and the Nun and the Tuf. The Rabbi say Dalid, Tes, Lamid. The
Why
tongue.
Is the Aleph guttural? The Aleph is
guttural. Aleph. We don't pronounce it in the classic way, but the Aleph. You don't have to move. You don't have to move your teeth, your tongue, your lips, your palate. Aleph. It comes from the throat. It's a guttural sound. It's the oisies hagronios. The only letter not represented in the word sukkah is the only part of the mouth not represented in the word sukkah is the tongue. Says Reb David Tevel, you know why there's no letter in the word sukkah that we use the tongue for? Because the four parts of the mouth surround the tongue, protect the tongue. You know what the purpose of the mitzvah of sukkah is? To protect the yid from speaking lashon hara. The mitzvah of sukkah is to protect you from speaking lashon hara. Therefore, there is no part of the mouth represented by the tongue in the word sukkah. How do we know the mitzvah of sukkah is to protect you from lashon hara? The pasuk says in Tehillim, "Titzpanim besukkah meiriv lashonais." It protects you from lashon hara. Now we understand why the Mishnah Berurah says, "Be very careful in the sukkah not to speak lashon hara." Because if you're going to speak lashon hara in the sukkah, you're defeating the purpose of the mitzvah of sukkah. The mitzvah of sukkah is the very antithesis of speaking lashon hara. It's not just the Chafetz Chaim taking the opportunity to, you know, it's an easy excuse to tell a yid not to speak lashon hara. The whole purpose of the mitzvah of sukkah is to protect you from lashon hara. Now, Rabbi Isai says the Nachas David. That's why the Yom Tov of Sukkot is keneged the Gula Achrona. Because we know the purpose of the Sukkot is to protect you from speaking Lashon Hara. And we know that Mashiach will not come and the Gula will not come until we correct the sin of Lashon Hara. As Gemara says in Yuma, Second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, Lashon Hara. And therefore, until we correct it, Mashiach will not come. Now we're getting a little inkling of when we sit in the sukkah, what are we mispalel for? Harachamon hu yakim lanu es sukkas David hanoifal es ribanusham. When we're sitting in the sukkah and we're being protected from lashon hara, there is no part of the mouth represent. The tongue is not represented in the word sukkah. The sukkah is protecting us from lashon hara. So now ribanusham, we kadaven to you. If we in fact are being protected from lashon hara, we have the right to ask you. No. Now this is what we needed to do. Yakim lanu es sukkas David hanoifal es. It's not just a weak excuse to daven for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. This is what it's going to take to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Marv Rabbis, let me ask you a question. Let's say at the end of Sukkot, you'd see a guy in Shul take the sukkah, take the shofar, and smash it on the floor 7 times or 5 times to smithereens. You think the guy's a meshugana, and he needs to be institutionalized. Imagine if at the end of Pesach, you have a guy, everyone comes to shul, they take the matzah, everyone's smashing the matzah against the carpet, staining the carpet, making a mess all over the shul. It's a mishugamhais. What in the world is going on over here? Imagine if on Shavuos, people came to shul, took cheesecake and slammed it, pulverized it on the floor. Mishuganas. So what in the world are we doing at the end of Sukkot? We take the arava. And we're pulverizing the Arava. What got into us? What kind of minhag is that? I'm going to tell you now something. It's not an achroin. It's not a rishain. It's from the ga'inim. It's a tshuva from one of the ga'inim. From Reb Tzemach Goin. He says, you know what the pshat in chibur Arava is? You know why we're smashing and pulverizing the Arava? We know the dalet minim correspond to the four parts of the body. The esrog is the heart. The lulav is the spine. The hadassim are the eyes. The arava is what? The lips. Arava looks like lips. Basically what we're saying is, God, we know that this whole cycle of tshuva, we know the reason why we have a Yom HaDin. We know what we were judged on. We know what we were doing tshuva for. What do we do tshuva for on Yom Kippur? Primarily the chayit of Lashon. Al bito isfasayim, al siach sfaseinu, al lashon hara. The most prominent thing that we keep on mentioning over and over again are the sins of the mouth. So you know what we do? We butter some. Enough already. We're sick and tired of sinning with our mouths. So we take the arava, which represents our mouth, and we pulverize it. Meaning, this year, we're going to zip it up. Enough. We're butter some. We agree. We're maskim. Enough is enough. We are not going to be opening our mouths this year for the wrong thing. We take our mouths and we smash them on the floor. That's what the goyim say. Like the pasuk says, "Yitain lemakeo afar ulai yesh tikva." Then Rav Tzemach Goyen says another pshat that until the last day of Sukkot, the mekatregim, the accusers, are active against the Jewish people, and therefore this represents that by when time Sukkot is over, all the accusers are silenced. But the truth is, these two pshatim go hand in hand. The fact that we agree to close our mouths will be the reason why the accusers in heaven will close their mouths. Because when we daven that all the mekatregim and all the deloy torim and shamayim should be silenced, the Chavetz Chaim says it goes hand in hand. That if we accuse our friends, we speak badly, we speak about the faults and deficiencies of another person, then in shamayim chas v'shalom malachi asharis could speak about the person's deficiencies. But if we're careful, we're zohir, not to point out any flaws with other people, then in shamayim Hashem says, I'm not listening to you either. You think I'm going to listen to you about him? He doesn't say anything bad about somebody else. I'm not going to listen to anything bad about him. Marv Rabbeisai, the Yom Tov of Sukkot is focused on zehiros of the Lashayin. The purpose of the sukkah is titzpenein besukkah meiriv l'shainos, to protect us from speaking lashon hara. There are four letters in the word sukkah. None of them come from the tongue. On Sukkot, our tongue has to be guarded. And when Sukkot is over, we take our mouths and we slam them on the floor and we commit for now on, we're not going to sin with our mouths. That is why the Mishnah Berurah explains it is so vital and critical to be careful not to speak lashon hara in the sukkah. Because the whole purpose of the Yom Tov and the whole purpose of the sukkah is to protect us from speaking lashon hara. Moreover, Rabbeisai, after 7-8 days in the sukkah, guarding our mouths, and our mouths are pure, when better during the year to ask for rain than after spending 8 days guarding the mouth? Because where does rain come from? Rain comes from our words. And by the time the year is over, we've been so uncareful with the words that we say, that we say, Ribbono Shel, okay, we're going to stop the cycle. For 8 days, we're going to be extra scrupulous with every word we say in order to restart the rain cycle. And after 8 days of sanctifying our words in the sukkah, and sanctifying our devarim, now we have the capacity and the ability and the courage and the boldness. Say, Ribbono Shel, now look at our words. Let's start davening for Geshem now. Now the Geshem that you bring could be Gishmei Bracha, could be rain created from Dvarim Kedoshim, Dvarim Tahirim, because now we have the protection of the Sukkah, now we have the protection of our commitment. After the Chibur Arava, we're able to be Mespalel for the Ribbono Shel to bring new rain. And that is why on the Yom Tov of Sukkot, we daven, Harachaman hu Yakim lanu es Sukkas daven hanoifales, says the Heilige Chafetz Chaim, that if we want to have the opportunity to be zoicha to see the Beis HaMikdash, well, Chazal say that the Dara, the second Beis HaMikdash, they had Torah and Mitzvahs. So why was it destroyed? Lashon Hara. Well, says the Chavetz Chaim, if Lashon Hara destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, al achas kama v'kama, it will never ever be built unless we rectify Lashon Hara. Says the Chavetz Chaim, four words that should shake you to the core, ad mosai niya bagoyla. How long do you want to be here already? And the answer is, we'll be here forever until we correct Lashon Hara. And that's why it's only on the Yom Tov of Sukkot we say, Ribbono Shel, we've been careful. That's the koyach of the sukkah. That's the koyach of the chibur arava. Now we kedaven harachaman hu yakim lanu sukkas davar hanifalas. There's a very interesting psikta. Let me tell you very quickly. Psikta is in quoted in the Ran, on Parshas Vayera, also in the Abar Benel. The Malachim tell Avraham, kein ta'ase ka'ashar dibarta. So the Ran brings down on the word ta'ase, like chag ha-sukkos ta'ase lecha, the Yom Tov of Sukkot you should make for yourself, says the Psikta, if you make a sukkah and sit in it this year, you'll sit in it next year. So the Acharonim ask, well, one second. Then a person will never die. They'll live forever. Because all they have to do is make a sukkah one time. If they make a sukkah one time. This year, they'll sit next year. If you sit next year, you'll sit next year. And many say, that's right. Sukkah is a tremendous segula for arichas yamim, to live a long life. Someone who's careful to sit in the sukkah properly, it's a zechus for long life. I'll give you a few examples. Number one, the Mekubalim, right? That Reb Chaim Falaji says that the sukkah, yesterday we said the sukkah is like the ois hay. Reb Chaim Falaji says from that Arizal, it's like the ois beis, three sides. A beis is three vavs. Vav, vav, vav. What's the gematria of vav, vav, vav? 18. Chai! It's a raya that if you sit in the sukkah, you'll live chai, you'll have a long life. Another raya, Rav Naftali of Rabshitz, says, Kol ho ezrach bi Yisrael yesh basukkos. Ezrach is a lashon of zaken. You sit in the sukkah, it's a skula for arichas yamim. Why is a skula, why is a sukkah a skula for arichas yamim? So we could say very pashat. What's the one thing we know from Tanakh that allows a person to live a long life? Mi ha'ish hechafetz chayim. You want oilam haba. Oyev yamim l'rois toiv. You want to live a long life in this world. Nitzar l'shoincha meira usvasecha medaber mirma. The way to live a long life is be careful from lashon hara. Memela, if you're zohir in the sukkah, chagas sukkah is tasalecha. You make the sukkah this year. Making the sukkah means not just sitting in it. You sit in it and you're careful from diburim asurim. You'll be zohir to sit in the sukkah for many, many, many years to come. Be'ezos Hashem Yisbarach. One last thing. We know there's a machlokes. L'man yedu d'arasechen ki basukos ha-shavdi esbnei Yisrael. Machlokes tanoim, was it sukos mamish? Or was it anane ha-kavayd? So you can say it like this. It's both. If you sit in your little hut, and in your hut, you speak divrei Torah, divrei Kedusha, divrei dvarim tahirim u'kadoshim, then in your little hut, you're consolidating all that pure and holy mist. That hut and that mist will form a very holy cloud. You know what that cloud is called? Anane HaKavod. Maybe we could say that Anane HaKavod are created on Sukkot through the holy Diburim that a Yid has in the Sukkah. We should talk about Zoycha. To utilize our mouths properly on the Yom Tov of Sukkot, to create sanctified air, sanctified mist, sanctified clouds, bizoicha tanani akovid, which is a hashras hashchina, and then when we're mespalel haracham and uyakum lanu sugas davanan efalas, ribon shem should be mekabel our tefila. We should be zoicha to see binyan beis hamikdash meher yamin. Shkayach.
I left out the medical.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.